This is Ruel's Running Podcast, episode 57. If you think you're not a runner, think again. In here, everyone's a runner. You may not always be putting one foot in front of the other, but trust me, you are running something. I'm your host, Ruel. Welcome.
There was a dream a million miles away. There was fire in the sky like every single day. All these bits and pieces to construct a song. Get your mind blown, look into the...
Yo, are you somebody or do you know somebody looking for a top-notch website hosting service with incredible support? Well, you know what? Here at Ruel's Running, we use and I recommend Bluehost. There is now an easy-to-access Bluehost banner for you at the website. Go to ruelsrunning.com, click through to the Bluehost banner. It's easy. It's hassle-free web hosting. Tell a friend. Tell a client. Tell yourself. Sign up today. Hey, everybody. You know what? If you like audiobooks or want to start accessing a wealth of or treasure trove of knowledge and information, I've made a little bit of an arrangement with audible.com where, if you haven't done so already, you can download your free audiobook today. Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products, get a free audiobook of your choice at, are you ready? www.audibletrial.com/Ruel's Running. That's audibletrial.com/Ruel's Running. Hey, everybody, you know, I got tired of paying high prices for vitamin containing fillers, junk, and only resulted in expensive pee. Now, since then, I've gotten on the best vitamin supplement on the planet. Pure Vitamin Club Daily Multicap contains all 13 essential vitamins plus 11 key minerals. It's the purest vitamin available. As I said, the purest vitamin on the planet. No added ingredients whatsoever. Now, Pure Vitamin Club's daily multicaps are shipped right to your door. Now, you can choose the 90-day plan or a 30-day plan where new bottles will be shipped to you automatically. Again, highly affordable and pure. On the 90-day plan, your monthly cost is just about 10 bucks a month, including shipping. Get in on it. Just go to ruelsrunning.com, click through the Pure Vitamin Club banner, and order your supply today. Amazon.com. What's to say about Amazon? I won't be surprised if more and more of the stuff in my house is one way or another shopped for, bought, and delivered from Amazon. I mean, it's just a reality, right? If this is your reality, before you do anything, there's a way you can help Ruel's Running, and that's by first visiting ruelsrunning.com. Click through the Amazon banner to get to Amazon. And I'd like to suggest folks, too, to also bookmark it for the future as well. Then once at Amazon, shop, connect, and enjoy. Hello, everyone. It's your host. It's me, Ruel. Just want to say welcome. And I also wanted to say welcome to episode 57. This is the guest episode with special guest Chris Rollins. You know, what I wanted to let you guys know is in the background, there was tons of audio problems with the connection via Skype. So, we did our best to sort of like struggle through it. And Chris was awesome going through it. He has a lot to say and some interesting stories. And I really had a good time chatting with him. But you'll notice when we switched from Skype to a different connection, I used the cell phone because the audio changes significantly. But for the most part, I believe that you can hear the conversation just as well, which is basically just as crappy as I traditionally do it here in Ruel's Running Podcast. But so enjoy the show, and I'll leave it as that. Hi, folks. Today's special guest is a new friend. I met him through the Vinny Tordrich No Sugars, No Grains Facebook group. We seem to have some things in common, but he's way, way cooler. I've referred to him as Raw Dog, and honestly, I'm not sure if he even cares for the moniker, but we'll find out. Friends.
It makes me laugh, dude. Nobody's ever given me a nickname before, so I appreciate that.
There you go. You heard him. Friends, I'm excited. I'm very excited to have Chris Rollins on the podcast. Hey, Chris, welcome.
Hey, Ruel. Nice to be here.
How was your morning? And, you know, I mentioned you're way cooler, but I also mentioned that we seem to have some things in common. And so we're not just connected in the NSNG group. Since then, we've been connected personally on Facebook. So,
yeah,
you know, I get to see a bit more of your interaction on Facebook than folks do on the video group, you know, other than the chatter in the group. So what I noticed is...
And there's a handful, I think there's maybe you and only maybe one or two other people that... that I'm personally friends with out of the group, you know, that have sent me a friend request, you know, since I've been involved in it. But, yeah, I dig the group. And yeah, we've you're the only person that's ever, like, ever wanted to battle jump rope challenge with me. So I appreciate that.
And you mentioned jump rope. So, you know, what I see is that we have in common is running, martial arts, and the very fact that we are interacting in that group, there's something that has to do with NSNG or some sort of the lifestyle, and like as you mentioned, jump ropes and jump rope challenges. So I want to talk about those things if you're good to go with that.
Yeah, I'm good to go with that. Yeah, what kind of martial arts do you do?
I've done. Well, we'll get into that. Let me flow into a kind of this thing that I've outlined. Is that cool?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm good.
Right on. Before we do anything else, first question is, what'd you have for breakfast so far?
So I'm sorry, what you cut out a little bit. What was that?
What did you have for breakfast?
Oh, just some scrambled eggs, two apples. I was going to have an avocado, but I ate it last night. So just a big pile of scrambled eggs and two apples so far today.
Dig it. I love eggs, man. Right on. Thank you. Now. You mentioned jump rope challenges. Yeah, I want to save that for later. Okay, let's do this. For the listeners whose ears are about to witness the awesomeness, which is Chris Rollins, please let everybody know who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
All right, okay. So, my name's Chris Rollins. I'm 43. Last time I counted, I live in Rankin, Georgia, which is a small community just north of Savannah. I am... single father of three wonderful teenage kids. I have three kids, Parker, Taylor, and Emma, boy, girl, boy, 14, 15, and 16. And let's see, I work in the logistics industry for my day job. Beyond that, I teach Taekwondo, survival self-defense training. I've been doing that for 33 years, and I run a lot.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's kind of it. I don't have time for much else.
and then that's why I have you on the show, because all that stuff excites me. So you mentioned running a lot. It's fair to say you're an ultra runner, right?
Yeah. I started. I am an ultra runner. I started running ultras. Actually, that was like the first thing I really did. And I actually got into running sort of late, you know, compared to probably most people. But so I've done. You know, and that's actually sort of a funny story. I've done, you know, Taekwondo my whole life, and I was a competitive fighter for years. Nothing like MMA level or professional, just, you know, area tournaments and things like that. So,
cool.
Last tournament, March of 2011. That turned out to be one tournament too many. I was a little bit underprepared. And unbeknownst to me, I wound up facing a guy that was world-ranked in, like, three different international fighting organizations.
Oh.
Which... would have been a handy piece of information to have before the match started, but, you know, somebody really would tell me that piece. at any rate, sustained a good bit of injuries, and even that was 2011, like I said, March of 11, and even in the couple years prior, when I had done well and won, you know, my matches and came home with all the trophies, you know, my recovery time from the beating was just months and months. I mean, the 20-year-old kids that I was fighting, you know, they're up on their feet and bounce back to work the next day, and I'm sitting in my recliner with my ankles swollen up for weeks. So it was kind of getting too painful to keep doing. So at any rate, that tournament was March. It was literally August before my ankles look normal again.
Wow.
I'm still, like, to this day, I've got a few issues in my shin muscles, and I've got a nerve issue in my left shoulder. Just stuff that happened in that last match, and just matches over the years. At any rate, so, you know, holidays come, and, you know, really didn't start any type of, you know, training or anything of the like after the holidays. At that time, my boys were racing motocross. So, you know, being a good dad, I bought a bike so I could ride with them. I'm a lifelong motorcyclist all my life. I've raced when I was a kid. I have a Harley now.
Nice.
So, about March, I'm out riding in a track with my boys. Suffered an unconventional dismount, long darted myself on my right shoulder, broke my collarbone, broke my shoulder blade, busted that sucker completely in half, and cracked three ribs all at once.
Not nice.
And so, yeah. So anyway, and my orthopedic surgeon. Ooh, man, I never had an orthopedic surgeon cuss at me before that day, but that was quite a thing. Yeah. So anyway, he tells me, the good news is, he's all my breaks were clean. He's like, they'll heal fast because of where they are. You got so much muscle and blood supply. They'll heal fast. He's like, so you'll be right back out to break yourself up again. So I opted to sell the dirt bike, and so that's like, you know, May of 2012. I haven't done any significant amount of exercise since, like, before my tournament in March, you know, of the prior year, because I've been so banged up for a good year at this point. At that time, I was up to almost 235 and just in horrible condition, which I hold right now. I'm just right at 200. Which is like my happy place weight. Seemed to do real well there.
Awesome.
You know, my most successful fighting weight ever was, you know, like 185, but that was a long time ago. And 200 seems to be a good place for me because I keep a lot of upper body muscle, which I like.
Yeah, you're Hercules. I'm looking at this picture on your Skype profile.
Oh, glad you think so. So, at any rate. So I was just, like, in a really bad place, and the worship not right. Going well. I was about to go through divorce and a few other things, and I stumbled across, literally, pure chance for an audio, just, like, something interesting, something to, you know, something pops up. There's Rich Roll's book, Finding Ultra.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that, and the title just intrigued me. I was like, I'll check this out. So anyway, I bought that book and listened to it, and it just freaking blew me away. My initial thought was, because I was looking for something else to do because I couldn't fight anymore, you know, all right, if this guy can do this Ultraman thing, surely I can go do, you know, and I can do an Ironman. I can do a triathlon. And so that was like my original intention. And then I priced road bikes and said, well, yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon, but at least I can grab some running shoes and go running.
Yeah.
So I started running June 2012, and right after I finished reading Rich's book, somebody told me about Born to Run. They were like, yeah, if you like that, you know, and I was telling some guy, he's a vegan, he does this thing called Ultraman. You know, I'd heard of Iron Man, but never heard of Ultraman. And like, oh, dude, you should read Born to Run. So I got that one. And to be honest, I owe Chris McDougal a punch in the face. That ruined
me. Yeah, it's cutting out again. Oh, jeez. Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
It's funny how the audio cuts out, and then when I say, hey, Chris, are you there? And then like, oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So, you know, when I'd never heard of anything longer than a marathon. I heard of them. You know, everybody's heard of a marathon.
Yeah.
But never heard of anything longer. So when I read about, you know, Scott Jurek and ultramarathoning and 50 milers and 100 milers, it flipped that switch, man. I was like, I have to know if I can do this. I have to find out.
And I love that switch.
So, at any rate, it was a little goofy to listen to be honest, but it's great, you know, great book, and I enjoyed it. So, first race I actually signed up for was the Rock and Roll Marathon in Savannah in November of 13. So, you know, I just kind of ran haphazardly through the end of the rest of 2012, just getting sort of a base, and then beginning of the year started training seriously for a marathon. Like, along the way, I did a few 5Ks in the beginning of the year, you know, just to go enter a race. I've never done that before, which was fun. But, you know, I really had my sights set on a marathon. And along the way, actually stumbled accidentally into an ultra before I ever ran a marathon.
Really?
Which was which was actually Vinny had me on the podcast to talk about that because I wrote him an email to tell him how much fun it was, you know, about the whole thing. Which I had been on Vinny's podcast once before, just talking about bad martial arts teaching on, you know, and the Biggest Loser and basically doing, you know, just ranting. That was a whole nother story or conversation. But
I think I remember that.
Yeah. So he called me. He's like, when I sent him the email, you know, he called me later that day. He's like, hey, we're going to call you. This is too funny. You're going to have to come on the show and talk about it. But the so September of 2013 rolls around. There's an ultra here called Chase the Sun that's put on. It's a local, it's a pretty good-sized ultra community in Savannah. A couple of different guys that are race directors have put on some great events. And this one was going on, so it was September 21st, I forget exactly the date, it's a Saturday, so it was a timed event, either 6 or 12 hour. And so when I found out about it, I was like, I saw there were relay teams you could do, and I have two other friends of mine, actually two of my black belts that take Taekwondo with me, were also training for the marathon. So I told them about it. I was like, you know, hey guys, let's go to a 6 hour, 3-person relay, 2 hours each, perfect training run, and we'll check out this ultra scene. It'll be fun. And they were like, great, we're in. You know, so about 3 or 4 days before the actual event, both of the guys had to bail. They couldn't, you know, just for life reasons, both of them had something come up. And I it's just left to be just me. And I was like, well, you know what? By God, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go down there for 6 hours and see how far I can go. Nice. And so I wanted to see what the ultra scene looked like anyway. You know, my only race experience prior to going to that ultra was like a few 5Ks.
Nice.
And, you know, you go to a 5K, I mean, no disrespect to a 5K. I think it's great for anybody to do a 5K, but you go to an average 5K, I mean, you know, the people on the starting line, save one or two of the cross-country kids, everybody looks like, you know, you may as well be standing in line at Walmart.
Yeah, they're all just happen to be wearing running clothes. That's, you know, kind of the crowd at a 5K. That ultra's a little different. You know, that was my only perspective, and I was dying to see what it was like to go to an ultra. So the day of shows up in September, and I said, you know, I'm going to go down there and try it out. So the event was from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I was running. Race director was allowing me to start in the middle of the day and run the six-hour shift at the end. So I ate or 12 or 1, whatever that was. So I got down there, and it was on a 1.87-mile loop. Here on a place called in a preserve on Whitmarsh Island here in Savannah. A beautiful place, trail, awesome thing. You know, I just got down there and the vibe of an ultra just, I mean, I was done the moment I got there, man. I got there and just like being amongst that energy and those people, and it was just so cool. It's hard to put into words. I mean, you've done ultras, right?
Yeah, I've okay. done my share, but not races, to be honest. They're all just sort of solo missions, but...
I mean, ultra races, man, it's a whole other thing, and it's different than like a big marathon. I mean, you go to... I'll get to that in a minute, but it's just, you know, there was about 200 people that had signed up for this thing, and, you know, solo runners and relay teams, and the vibe of it was just awesome, because... Everybody there, you know, nobody there was running to try to kill themselves. Nobody there was running, you know, was trying to qualify for Boston. Nobody there was, it was just all about everybody there just, you know, seeing what they had inside themselves.
Yeah.
And running into the unknown in their own little path. And that was so freaking cool. And I just loved it. I fell in love. At that, I was like, these are my people. This is where I'm supposed to be. And so I, you know, got all stretched out, and, you know, they handed me my number, and the race director blows the, okay, first 6 hour period's over, air horn, and he waves the rest of us on. I took off running. So prior to that day, my longest single trainer run had been 12 miles, dude. I actually lost a month in the summer of running because I had an IT band issue. My left knee had to stop, let that heal up. And so 12 miles. And I'm like, I have no idea how far I'm going to go. I'm like, 6 hours. What am I going to do in 6 hours? And I just kept going. And, you know, and I'm running. And everybody on the trail that passes you or that you pass, they got a big smile. I'm like, how you doing, man? And, you know, you meet them and everybody's telling you their stories and what they're there for. Long story short, I think I got to like 5 miles before I even heard the run keeper in my ear say, you know, just, you know, the time is 5 miles. So next thing I know, I am passing like mile 13. And like at mile 13, I screamed at the top of my lungs, you know, because when the runkeeper told me I'd hit mile 13, I was like, woohoo, thank you, God.
You're nice.
Hell out of a whole bunch of people around me. And, yeah, when you scream amen or anything like that at the top of your lungs on a quiet trail, when everybody's running an ultra, you know, some people pee themselves. You got to be careful about that.
Even the bears.
So, even the bears, yeah. So, anyway, I made it 28 and a half miles that day. I actually surpassed the marathon. And when I got to the end, and don't get me wrong, I was hurt. I was sore. My feet were killing me. I shoveled myself into my car and drove home in absolute disbelief. Like, what the hell did I just do? I just, you know, because I'm training for a marathon. And, like, you know, the marathon, if you never run one, it's like this mythical distance. And you're like, you hear all these stories of you hit the wall at 20 miles. And you have to drag yourself. And that last point, too, you think you're going to die. You're making deals with God and you're retraining and all this stuff. And so I had all this really crazy stuff in my head about what was going to happen at all these at this mileage. And I just ran past it in freaking September. The race is not even until October. And I was so blown away. I mean, I got home and I walked in. And my kids were like, how far did you go, Daddy? And they were like, how far did you go? Did you make it to 20 miles? I walked in. I was like, yeah. Yeah, well, a little farther. I'm gonna go sit in an ice bath for a little while now. And I went and I sat in an ice bath, like staring at my feet, just really going, did that just freaking happen? And I was done at that moment. I was like, okay, when's the next one? So, I ran the rock and roll. I hit my goal time literally on the minute, and just had a great experience.
Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody caught it, because to be quite honest, with all of the technical difficulties, you ran, correct me if I'm wrong, did you run an ultra before you did your marathon?
Yeah, I did. I accidentally ran an ultra before I did my marathon.
And that was that a 50K or a 50 miler?
No, it was a 6 hour. I had entered a 6 hour,
okay,
you know, just a timed event, and I actually went 28.05 miles. That was my official result.
Okay, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I might have even gone 1.87 miles further than that, because I actually think that the lady, you know, it was one of those where it's a loop, so they have volunteers, you know, checking every runner in. You go by and you call your number out, you make sure they get you. And I know on one of those loops, I think I called my number out, and the little girl was, like, yapping at somebody, and she, like, waved at me, and I thought she got me. But I don't know that she did, because I was thinking I had gone one more lap and they told me that I went. But I don't care. You know, it was like I surpassed the marathon, you know, on that day. And I was just, I was stupefied at what had happened. I couldn't explain it. It was crazy.
Fantastic. I'm surprised. Yeah. You know, there, you talked about hopping in your car and you know, seeing your kids and hopping in that bath. And, were you wrecked? Did you feel wrecked after that 6 hours?
Well, I felt like somebody beat me. I felt like, oh, I was a train wreck, man. It was horrible. And I did that. It was a trail race on a really good trail, lots of roots. I'm in a freaking pair of, you know, Brooks Pure Cadence or something like that. I mean, you're not something you would want to run much further than a 10K in if you're a 200 pound dude. I thought my feet were going to freaking revolt. But, you know, I just kept going, and I really can't explain it. And for anybody that's never, you know, gone out and run past, you know, that preconceived limit in your mind of what you think you can do, and you kept going, you got to do that, because until you do it, you just can't relate. You have to, you know, there's a whole world out there for you that is just, it's beyond what you think your limitations are, but you've got to run through them.
Okay.
And it's just, until you do, man, oh my God, it's just awesome.
Yeah, I love that. So let me see if I got this straight. You were at a point where you weren't able to do the level of martial arts activity that you had done, and you found yourself in a place where you were falling out of shape, but managed to get the inspiration via Rich Roll's book, Finding Ultra, and
yes.
Born to Run, and you said you owe Christopher McDougall a punch in the face, but in a good way?
Yeah.
And
in a good way. Yeah, he ruined me. Yeah, if he'd never written that book, I'd have probably never, ever read about ultramarathoning.
There you go.
And I never would have had that flip switch, the switch flip inside of me that got turned on that day when I discovered, ultramarathoning, reading that book.
Now, you started building yourself up towards a marathon, hopped into a six-hour event, and went beyond the marathon.
Went beyond the marathon.
And you're hooked. Is that right?
I was hooked. I was hooked, man. Now, at that point, man, the marathon was just another day, and it was just going to be fun, and it was. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, how long ago was that? Was that a couple years ago?
No, it was November. That ultra was September of 2013. And then,
okay.
My first marathon, official marathon, was November of 2013. It was Rock and Roll Savannah, which is a great race, a really great race. It's the first weekend in November, and if anybody out there is looking for a great first marathon, you will not find a better one than that one because it's a flat course. It runs through all the historic district. Savannah is a beautiful destination town for tourism and for vacation. It's not hot, and it's just a great race to do. I had a blast with it. Doing it.
Okay, cool. So from that sort of beginnings till now, is there a certain run or race or distance that you found even just as memorable or more that you want to share? Talk
they
about.
They all are, man. Because like in 2014, I did. So in 2014, I did. Give me a minute. I did 350 Ks. I did 4 marathons. I did a 6-hour, 250 milers, and then a 100K. And that was between January to July of 2014.
Wow.
And and then all the miles in between for training and what have you. But yeah, I can remember every freaking step of every one of them, dude. I'll be honest with you. A marathon is like my favorite distance because it's fun, and it doesn't take all day. It doesn't eat you alive. And when you go to a marathon, because it's such a marathon is like such a bucket list thing for so many people. Just because it's like the longest distance that most people would ever consider running. It's there's lots of them out there, and. There's lots of training plans available, and just most people don't know about ultra run. So that's when you go to a big marathon, you're there with like lots. There's thousands of people that show up for a big marathon. I mean, like Rock and Roll Savannah, 20,000 freaking people at that thing, dude. And there's a handful of really fast guys in the front, and some people trying to qualify for Boston. But by and large, everybody, the other 19,500 people, they're people that are there. Knocking off a bucket list thing that they have dedicated themselves and their training for. And so the energy of that is just beautiful. I mean, it's like there's like a freaking rainbow over the whole course, even if it's cloudy and not sunny, just because of the energy of the people that are there. And everybody's smiling, everybody's focused, and that's a fun place to be.
Yeah, it is.
I'm a people person anyway. I mean, everybody that I pass, if I pass anybody, I'm not a fast guy. I mean, my best marathon's 4 hours and 21 minutes. So I'm not a fast guy. So, but everybody that I pass, dude, I mean, I slap them on the back. I must have hugged 1,000 people on the course at Rock and Roll, or on almost any marathon I've done. Just, that's just me. That's how I do it, but I have fun with it, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, you don't know it, but you married a few of them, and you have a few kids that you're not aware of as well. That's how the energy is. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Hey, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing. Wow. What we have in common there, and I've talked about things that we have in common. Getting Rich's book as well. Getting that in my ear helped flip a switch to me as well, and it flipped a switch for me. I guess nutritionally, it made me look at fueling and nutrition differently.
Yeah. Yes.
Because by the, you know, right before I picked up his book, I did my first 50K, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't doing the NSNG thing. I had done my first 50K, and I wasn't happy with my performance, and I asked myself, you know, what can I do differently? There has to be a different approach, because people are doing these things, doing farther than a 50K, doing it way better, you know, and without as much, you know, difficulty and injury. So, you know, I looked to nutrition as a way to get my answers, and for some odd reason, you know, I picked up Rich's book. Actually, it was while listening to the Endurance Planet podcast. Tawny Prazak had mentioned Rich Roll, and I didn't know anything about Rich Roll, and so I'm like, what the heck? I'll pick up the audio book, listened to it, and like you described, there was a switch, and there was a lot of questions, and there was a lot of, you know, things to experiment on, and like you, then Born to Run came out, and then that went in my ear, right? You know.
Right.
And crazy things happened. You put on Vibrams, and sometimes you run barefoot, and you're wondering whether or not you should buy a pair of Luna Huaraches.
I'm sitting here with a pair of Luna sandals strapped to my feet right now.
And there you go, man. See, and
yeah.
But you know, I'm glad that those things happened, because it, you know, they help put me in a place where I need to be, and you know, it's all good.
It is, yeah. And I'll tell you this too, because I you know, finding Rich's book at the point that I did, see, I was never a diet guy. I was always one of those people who was able to eat anything, and
sure.
Because I'd done bike training my whole life, bike training really burns calories.
Yeah.
Intensely burns calories. Bike training is crazy. And when I quit doing that, that's when I ballooned up so much that I just, you know, my eating habits didn't change. And I had never educated myself on nutrition at all. And, you know, after getting Rich's book, I actually did. I went cold turkey vegan for about 7-8 months.
Wow.
And, yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I actually, and then as I, it worked for me to a point, and then, you know, you can be vegan and you can eat like crap. I mean, you really can, but you have to, you know, vegan's really not a good word. Even Rich will tell you that, you know, it's more, you have to, a better description is plant-based whole food. So while I was eating vegan, I wasn't necessarily eating plant-based whole food.
Sure.
And, you know, and then, and actually how I discovered in SNG is I'm listening to Rich's podcast, and this is early in 2013, not long after he had, started his podcast, and he has Vinny on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's talking about, and I Vinny cracked me up. I was like, I'm going to go check this Vinny guy out. So I found Vinny's podcast and started listening to it, and I was like, no sugar and no grains, everything else.
That's doable.
It just, like, seemed to make sense. That's way more doable.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that. And so I went in SNG and had fantastic results.
So you, yeah, and you bought a steak.
I did. Yes, and at the point that I got to my ultra, the one we just talked about, I had already been at the NSNG for several months.
Okay.
And I ran that 28.5 miles, 28.05 miles, whatever it was. I ran that whole thing on 4 bananas, 1 spoonful of almond butter, and water.
Nice.
Everybody around me sucking down goos.
Oh yeah.
Gummy bears and all that crap.
Oh,
and I was just shaking my head like, man. Crazy. I ran the Rock and Roll Marathon, 4 hours, 30 minutes, 13 seconds was my official time. I had one banana at mile 20, and I had water, and that was it. I take that back. I have a handheld water bottle I run with. At one aid station, I filled it about halfway up with Gatorade because I was getting a cramp in my right leg, and so like one shot of Gatorade seemed to knock it out. And that was it. Water and a banana. And I killed that thing. And then my best marathon I did last year was the Publix Atlanta Marathon, which is a really hilly course. I PR'd that. It was 4 hours and 21 minutes. I ran that one on. I had 2 bananas at mile 20 and some water. That was it.
Nice. So let's see. You've touched on diet. And you've touched on, so what I'm picturing is you're exploring all of this new activity, the running and the ultra running and doing all these events, sort of at the same time you've managed to shift your diet because of your inspiration from Rich Roll and trying things out, sort of the vegan approach, and then flipping over to the NSNG approach. So you've your body composition has to have improved, has to have changed. What was that like?
Dramatically, man, and that's what's crazy. I started really, and I don't eat into things. I'm an extremist. I'm a recovering addict. I'm an extremist. I have to freaking, it's all or nothing. So, you know, which is why the first race I ever signed up for was a marathon. So when I went to NSNG, that was in the March, beginning of April. Sort of towards the end of April was when I had to, right at the beginning of May, I had to stop running because my IT band went crazy, my left knee. So I just took like a month off, the whole month of May off, and didn't do anything but, you know, jump rope, martial arts, all the other stuff I did that wasn't running. Basically went back to bike training because it didn't bother it, but no running. But I was doing very, very serious, strict NSNG, and the month that I wasn't running, I actually dropped to like a weight size. I leaned out just big time, and everybody, you know, all my friends are like, you look good for all that running. I'm like, no, dude, it's not running. I'm talking about the diet. I actually had a really funny experience. There's a group here. There's a running group. Yeah, every city's got the running shoe store that sponsors the local running group. So in October, I went down to meet this running group and run with them for the first time. About 22 people in Savannah, and we're running along, and I'm introducing myself to everybody, and we come to it was a 20-mile route, just a 20-mile run that had been planned out. The running shoe store like set up water stations along the route. It's very highly organized, a lot of fun. So we get to like the first like water station. I'm filling up my water bottle with like a bucket of gels or goos. And everybody's reaching in, grabbing one. We're like 6 miles in it. And I was like, man, I'm first like kind of marveling that, you know, anybody needs a damn goo at 6 miles.
Yeah.
But then, one of the ladies that was one of the group coaches, who has since actually gone NSNGs, and this was the beginning of that, she's like, Chris, you need some, or you want me to take some for later? I was like, no, I don't use any of that. And like the whole group, like 22 people, like it was like one of those like moments. Everybody's head turns to me, and they all look at me funny. They're like, "You don't use these?" And I was like, "Nah, dude, I don't use anything. I've never had one of those in my life. I've never had it. I don't even know what they taste like. I've never had a gel or a goo or anything. Because to be honest, I didn't know they existed. I just didn't. So because I've never been a lifelong runner. So anyway, and they're like, how do you fuel? I was like, y'all never heard of fat adaptation? No. What do you mean fat adaptation? I was like, well, I don't eat sugar or grains of any kind, so I stay fat adapted, and I don't have to eat any of that. I just don't use any of that crap. And like, you'd have thought I'd have grown like a second head at that moment. And, they all were just like, well, I don't know what to say to that. And like the coach, her name is Carol Ann, the lady, she was like, gosh, that's just contrary to everything I've ever read or known in my entire life. I was like, I can give you some stuff to read if you want. I mean, works for me. So I did, you know, we did that whole 20-mile, you know, training run, and I had water the whole time. And since then, probably half of that group is now NSNG.
Fantastic.
And yeah, all good friends of mine, and actually several of them are actually in Facebook group as well. They're awesome people. We have, you know, become very, very good friends of mine. It was so funny that first moment, you know. I was like, no, I don't use any of that stuff, and everybody turns around and looks at me like I've got three heads.
did any of the guys that originally, or any of the folks that signed up for the that first 6-hour event, did any of them flip over as well to NSNG?
One of them is, I don't know if he's NSNG, but let's see. Yeah, there's a few. There are a few. And then, and I have, and as I have become more and more involved with the ultra community here in Savannah, most, I would say, the more successful ultra runners that that are here in this area, and we've got some fast people. I mean, I've got, I mean, there's a handful of really, really fast ultra runners down here. I mean, I'm talking sub 8 hour, 50 mile, you know, kind of people, 18 hour, 100 mile, you know, people. There's a lot, there's some strong ultra runners here in this area. And most of them,
yeah,
you know, aren't necessarily quote unquote NSNG, but most of them are, you know, are high fat, low carb, you know, more paleo ish people. They don't, you know, don't do sugar and they don't do processed carbs. You know, don't necessarily call it NSNG, but most of them eat more like that than not.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely there's a few ways about going with the fuel, and there's that faster study that you're familiar with, the faster study, where there's a
in name, yes, I have not studied it or read it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, same here. Where they you get a collection of these ultra athletes, and like a subset, you know, they're very successful fueling. You know, with carbs, and there's the other set successful fueling, you know, with high fat. And, you know, it doesn't take away from their performance. Each person just does well with whatever approach. But, yeah, I get it. I want to jump around. I know you talked about – we've talked about running. We've talked about the diet. And you've mentioned martial arts a lot of times and how it's been a part of your life. Let's go get into that a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, happy to. Well, I'm a Taekwondo instructor. I've been doing traditional Taekwondo for 33 years. I started when I was 10, and, you know, that's, you know, other than, you know, my faith in my kids, that's the single biggest part of my life, more so than running or anything else. And, gosh, what do you like to know?
So you started pretty young in Taekwondo. Your kids,
I started pretty young in Taekwondo, and you know, I was not a really good traditional athlete when I was a kid. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, I was a, and you know, this is probably a whole other podcast, but I'll just, you know, briefly, I was a dorky kid that got bullied and picked on. I couldn't play baseball, basketball, or football. Baseball, I could play. It bored the hell out of me. Football, I really didn't care for. Basketball, I can't run, shoot, or dribble to save my life. I'm the whitest freaking white. I'm a freaking jar of mayonnaise when it comes to basketball, man. I just
can't do it,
you know. So, yeah, and that's, I grew up in Monroe County, Georgia. That's a rural community. That's all there was. Baseball, football, and basketball, and everything else was sissy sports. You know, that's all that was, like, available. So, anyway, so, you know, I'm a nerdy kid that doesn't, I never get picked for any of the other teams, and I'm not any good at anything else, and you know, got bullied a lot when I was in, you know, as a younger kid at school, and by the grace of God, my mom, it's actually a funny story.
Go on.
The movies, my mom takes me to see, they had a release of Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon, his last big movie, in the theaters about that time. My mom takes me to see it, which is really funny looking back on it. That's a freaking rated R movie. I don't know what the hell my mom was thinking, taking me to see, you know, Enter the Dragon at, you know, 9.5, 10 years old. But, at any rate, and she, you know, she takes me to see it, and I was like, oh, man, that was awesome. She's like, would you like to, you know, try karate or something like that? I was like, oh, I'd love, you know, sure, love to. So she finds the only Taekwondo, the karate school in Macon, Georgia at the time, Grand Master On's Taekwondo school, and takes me for lessons, me and my brother, signs me up just after my 10th birthday, and that changed my life. Because, you know, it was a beautiful thing. My grandmaster instructor was a Korean, he's the original, he's the real, authentic, original deal. He is a Korean immigrant. Gosh, you got to be pushing mid-70s now, I forget exactly how old he is, but, you know, he'd been, was actually, you can actually look him up, his name is E.C. on H. in, Grandmaster he's in Macon, Georgia, was actually the reason he was sent to the United States was that he was handpicked by General Choi of South Korea to come over here and teach Taekwondo. So, and you know, by the grace of God, this guy, you know, lands in Macon, Georgia, and winds up being my instructor. And he did the most beautiful thing anybody could have ever done for me, and I tell the story all the time. You know, he, you know, my mom took me and my brother in there, and he looked at me, and he didn't see a nerdy kid, he didn't see a bullied kid, he didn't see a kid that wasn't an athlete. I think he just, you know, I'm jokingly saying he probably just saw another white kid. I'm sure we all looked the same to him. And he slapped the uniform on me, wrote my name on it so he knew what to call me, and threw me the line and gave me a chance, treated me like everybody else. And after my first class, I was like, this is it. This is my thing. I can do this. And so I got my first degree black belt, 12-ish, 12 and a half, and started teaching when I was 13, and I've been at it ever since. I've never really looked back. It's been my thing my whole life.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I believe, the website. It's Grandmaster EC On, you said?
Yeah, it's our website. The school's website is HAESAN.org.
HAESAN.org,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm on it.
Yeah, and I've been a member, been involved with them for, like I said, 33 years now. And I'm a fifth-degree black belt today. I just got my fifth degree this year. I would be a higher, I actually have enough tenure to be a much higher rank, but I did not test for a number of years because once you get past a certain rank, they don't like you to fight
anymore.
Yeah. And I wanted to keep fighting, so I just opted not to test so I could keep fighting. So, today I teach, one regular class a week, and I actually, it's not my day job, so to speak. I teach at my church. And I do a free class once a week for anybody in the community who wants to show up. I've been doing that for 12 years. Where I live now, it's a program called Kicks for Christ Taekwondo. We have a free class, and then at the end of the class, we do just a brief prayer and a devotional for anybody who wants to show up.
Beautiful.
I have lots of families, entire family. I do it for free, so I have whole families to come and participate. And I have about 10 or 15 people that have achieved black belt in that program, you know, under me since I started it, and that's like just one of my, I'll do that for the rest of my life. That's just one of my ways of giving back. I do, a couple of years ago was approached by one of my students, her company where she works here in Savannah. It came up that they wanted to offer the company that trains flight crews and cabin attendants that work in private and commercial aviation, and they were wanting to add a survival self-defense class to what they offer. And I guess it, you know, it kind of came up, okay, does anybody know anybody that teaches that kind of thing? So my friend comes to me and she's like, you're not going to believe this. This just came up. So would you want to come and talk to them? Long story short, I designed the program based on what they were wanting and offered it. I call it Simple Strike Self-Defense. And I've been doing that for about 4 years now, and actually get paid to do that. It's a nice thing. And through that, I'm actually getting opportunities. I'm going to be expanding that program into another company here in Savannah. I've got I'm being flown to Connecticut in September to do that program for an insurance corporation for all their executives and employees. So I'm working on building that up to be what supports me because that's my passion in life. And I won't claim that I'm good at a lot of stuff. You know, I was a pretty decent fighter. I'm a decent runner, but I don't mind saying I'm a damn good martial arts instructor. And that's what I'd love to be able to do to provide for my family.
Fantastic. You know, when you started this talking about martial arts and you talked about how your mom took you to an R-rated movie, Enter the Dragon, right? I kid you not, goosebumps, goose pimples, whatever you want to call them, chicken skin. I was like, yeah, I can really, really appreciate that. I think, you know, your story made it onto many other movies. You know, you hear that story where the kid gets bullied, the kid's not into sports, the jocks are kicking him around, but then there's this guy. He's Billy Blanks, who's the janitor at the gym, or he's Mr. Miyagi, you know, Pat Morita, who's whatever he does, I don't know, he's the gardener or something. And yeah, he sees Chris Rollins. He's trying to learn martial arts kicks by looking at a magazine. And yeah, then Billy Blanks and Pat Morita hook Chris Rollins up and teaches him how to kick butt and eventually become an ultra runner.
That's right.
Ha ha! Yeah, that concludes part one with Chris Rollins. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Stay tuned for part two with our good friend Chris Rollins. And yeah, cool, man.
Peace.
I'd like to remind everybody that I'm always looking for ways to connect and share with folks. You know, in addition to all the various social media networks and services, you know, the stuff that's like linked on the show notes and available on the website, things like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. I'm working on adding some form of a newsletter. I want to encourage folks to sign up. It's painless, quick, and easy. It's easy to sign up. Just encourage folks to do so before you forget, and that happens. So don't forget. Do it today. Go to ruelsrunning.com, look for the subscribe banner or a subscribe box, and do the deed. Get on it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. Now, remember to check out ruelsrunning.com, see what's there. You know, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ruelsrunning. And, yeah, if you need to email me, ruelsrunning@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @ru_EL. And that's a wrap, folks. I'm your host, Ruel. Please be safe. You know, eat something delicious. Take care of your family and go run something. Bye. Come on, baby.
thanks for listening. And don't forget to check out the website, revolvesrunning.com. Check it out. Check out the resources page for stuff, cool stuff. Be sure to check out our affiliates and check out the our sponsors and affiliates. I mean, Amazon.com. Check out Pure Vitamin Club. Check out audibletrial.com/revolvesrunning. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and like us at facebook.com/RuelsRunning. Also, check us out on Twitter at RU_EL. That's it, folks. That's a wrap. Oh, lastly, please check us out on iTunes and subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Thank you very much. I'm your host, Ruel. Be safe. Love life. Eat something delicious. Take care of your family. Go run. Something. Bye.
There was a dream a million miles away. There was fire in the sky like every single day. All these bits and pieces to construct a song. Get your mind blown. Look into the unknown.